Ben, can I trouble you to close the door?
I think Ben's on his way in.
No, Ben, can I trouble you to close the door?
Sure, my pleasure.
So we're here on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, and if you take a look, going up from the bottom, we can get to Tanur Rabbanan, which will be a little bit of a chazor of what we did yesterday. And I would say it's about 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. Tanur Rabbanan, Merchatz Shepakuku Nekovav May Erev Shabbos. So what happens is the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos, and they closed up these vents, we call them, before entering into Shabbos. So there was no violation whatsoever. Again, in this case, they're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. For that matter, you wouldn't be allowed to bathe in hot water even on Yontif. And that's called Mayim Shehuchmu Be Erev Shabbos. And we said that we paskin like Shmuel against Rav, that you're not allowed to even pour the water over your head and bathe your entire body by pouring it on top of you. The only heter would be, according to Shmuel, Panav Yadav Varaglav, but not Kol Gufo. That's what we discussed yesterday. In any event, in this case, he wants to use the hot water right after Shabbos, so he's allowed to do so. And Rochetz Bo Miyad, you know, he doesn't have to wait what we call Bechdei Sheyasa. Normally, if there was a violation of Issur Shabbos, then you have to wait after Shabbos not to benefit from that violation. So you have to wait the amount of time it would have taken to do that cooking. Here, he closed the vents before Shabbos. There was no heat coming from the fires into the water on Shabbos. So although they made Xerah and they said you're not allowed to use this water for bathing, but on the other hand, right after Shabbos, make Havdalah and then bathe in the water. May Erev Yontif, Lemachar, again they closed the vents on Erev Yontif in this case, Lemachar Nichnas Umeizia Viyotze Umishtatev Bebeis Hachitzon. So on Yontif, he can go into this bathhouse that was heated up on Erev Yontif, and the vents were closed, so there's no heating process going on regarding the water on Yontif itself. But nevertheless, there's an Iser of Lishtatev called Gufo. You're not allowed to pour hot water from the bath over your head to take a shower. But on the other hand, since the water was heated on Erev Yontif, so one could ostensibly argue that he's not violating any sort of an isur. Bathing itself would be prohibited. That's called rechitzas kol gufo, right? But less than kol gufo would be okay. So here it says umishtatev bebeis achitzon. He goes out and he pours the water over himself on the outside. In other words, he was sweating on the inside, and he has to go outside in order to rinse his body off. Now, why does he have to go outside? Keep in mind, the water is hot from Erev Yontif. And water that was heated up in Erev Yontif, you're not allowed to use for bathing. So if he would rinse himself off inside the bathhouse and then come out, people would suspect him of bathing and using the bath inside the Beis HaMerchatz. So not only did they prohibit bathing in the hot water, they even prohibited rinsing in the hot water inside the bathhouse, because when he walks out, people won't know that the water that's dripping all over his body came from the act of shituf, of rinsing and pouring. They will think that he jumped into the water itself, into the tub, which you're not allowed to do. So therefore they made sure that he walks out of the merchatz, and he's sweating, you know, that he is, but he's not full of water, I guess, in the sense that, my impression is, tell me if you agree with me, that the spectator could differentiate between someone who was sweating and someone who took a bath. I don't know. That's the impression I get over here. So if he walks out of the bathhouse having sweat on his body, that would not lead to any suspicion that he was bathing in the hot water inside the bathhouse. They would clearly see that he was not bathing inside the bathhouse, he came out and he rinsed himself. But if he would rinse himself inside the bathhouse, it would be totally indiscernible. You could not tell the difference between someone who bathed and someone who poured the hot water over his body. Mishtatev kol gufo. Then the Gemara tells the story, if you remember, from Bnei Brak. Amar Rav Yehuda Maisa b'merchat shel Bnei Brak shepakaku nekov of Me'er of Yontif. So now that the water that was heated up in this bath was on Erev Yontif, and they closed the vents so that there was no heat coming in on Yontif, the water wasn't being heated up on Yontif, is therefore L'macher Nichnas Rav Elazar ben Azariah Rav Akiva. These two great Tanoim went in V'zivbo. They used it as a shvitzba. They were sweating there. That you're allowed to do. And the Mefarshim assume that you're allowed to do this even on Shabbos. Why? Because it's only Mayim Shehuchmu B'Erev Shabbos, and Mayim Shehuchmu B'Erev Shabbos is only Asur B'Rechitza, and to sweat is not called Rechitza. Anyway, Yatzu V'Nishtatfu B'Beis Achitzon. So far, you know, the story is an exact repetition, a duplicate of what we learned in the Brice. They had to go outside to rinse themselves, because again, if they would rinse themselves inside the bathhouse, people would suspect that they had bathed. So the rinsing process of sheet of kol gufas take place b'beis achitzon outside the bathhouse. Ella, but here they added a proviso. And what did they do? Shechavin shalom mechupin b'nisarin. That the place where the heat is coming from, underneath, like in the lower chambers below the bathtub, that heat has to be completely sealed off. In such a way that it's nikar, it's obvious that the planks of wood were placed on it, and therefore no one could suspect that these waters were heated up on Shabbos itself. So again, this is another way of guaranteeing that no one would suspect bathing. So they went a step further, these Tanoim, and they required that you completely cover up the source of heat on the bottom of the basement, by placing planks across them. But the Gemara says, "Kshadomer b'olufnei chachamim." When the chachamim heard about this, they thought it was an excessive chumrah, a stringency that was not necessary. Omru, they said, "Afal pisha ein hamayim shalom mechupim b'nisarim." There's no need to actually cover over the source of heat on the bottom. Why? Because the water was heated on Erev Yontif, and they closed the vents entering into Yontif. That's enough of a demonstration that clearly the water is not being heated up on Yontif, but rather was heated up on Erev Yontif, and therefore they're allowed to be Meizia, because there's only an Isur Rechitza to go into the hot water.
Maybe the idea of covering it was that no one was tempted to go into the hot water. They covered it over, and therefore no one would go in, because they'd have to remove the boards to get into
correct,
it.
Correct. That's a good point. Anyway, now we get to the sugya that we just began yesterday, and that's what I want to focus on today. Because at this point, what we're allowed to do is water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, but allowed to use the water, not for bathing, but at least for sweating. But the Brisa continues and reports that Misharabu Ovrei Avera, when there were those, which the Gemara is going to explain a little later on, that they tampered with the fire even on Shabbos, even on Yontif, hischilu lesar. They started prohibiting even to shvitz inside of this. So they made a total iser hanah with regard to this water, even though again the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. And what did they say? Ampatios, which means these bathhouses, shall krachim, in the largest cities, that's where they were playing this hanky-panky, and they were trying to fool us, but they were heating up water on Shabbos. Af, he says, metayobem, they would still allow you, this they didn't change, to go through it. You know, there's, you're wearing your clothes and you take a beeline through the bathhouse, but nobody suspects that you bathed inside. V'yena choshesh, and that's okay. So my ovrei avera, what exactly happened historically that all of a sudden the sinners became, you know, the sin became rampant, and there was hefkeris, and as a result the chacham started prohibiting using the hot water that was heated up yesterday for schwitzing. Shimon ben Paz, Yomar Shimon ben Levi Shimon bar Kapora, Bitchila Hayrochatzin Bechamin Shehuchmu B'Erev Shabbos. Originally, everything was going well. People were very careful about seeing to it that the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos, and there was no water that was heated on Shabbos. Any water that's heated on Shabbos, as we said many times, becomes prohibited for any sort of benefit whatsoever. But here, they were very careful about the fact that it was heated up when? On Erev Shabbos. But then, Hischilu ha-balonim lahachim b'Shabbos. The balonim who were in charge, the supervisors who were in charge of making certain that the water in the bath was hot, those individuals, they were salaried employees, they began to heat up the water on Shabbos itself. Now here he quotes the Ritva. He says, just one second, Hech chilu habalonim Shabbos. How is it possible that these so-called supervisors who were in charge of the bathhouse would violate the Shabbos b'malacha gemura l'chamei v'samayim, to heat up the water by turning up the fire? We have a principle based on the Gemara in Gittin, lo nechshedu Yisrael al Shabbosos, that, again, that's not true today, but in the old days, the Jews were very careful about Shabbos. And we never would suspect someone to deliberately, intentionally violate the Shabbos and desecrate the Shabbos. So he says the following. This is the Rashba, the Ritva. Ela shalohayu pokikin is the cause. What did they do to achieve their goal without violating the Shabbos? Their goal to keep the water very hot. They left the vents on. So there was heat that was coming up from the basement, from underneath, and the vents were still open. And not only that, what they would do is before Shabbos, they would add a lot of wood to the fire to make sure that the fire would keep going for hours and hours, maybe for the entirety of Shabbos, and they left the vents open. So there's not a violation of Melecha Shabbos over here, but the water itself is heated up on Shabbos. And since the water itself is heated up on Shabbos, therefore, we have to prohibit Zeya, meaning you're not allowed to sweat with this hot water that was heated up on Shabbos. Again, was it actually heated up on Shabbos? Well, originally people were very careful, meticulous, and observant. But later on, the Balonim would leave the vents on, put a large amount of combustible material, you know, logs and so forth, to keep the fire going intensely over the course of Shabbos, and the water was in fact heated up on Shabbos. Once the water is heating up on Shabbos, that's called Chamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, and we've already seen in the Mishnah of Anshei Tveria that that's prohibited straight across the board. So again, we don't know that this water was heated up on Shabbos, but we're going to suspect that it was heated up on Shabbos. What percentage statistically? I don't know, let's say 5%, 10%, but that was enough to make this Gzeira. And therefore, at this point, he says, the Omer, the Erev Shabbos Chuchmu, you know, the Balonim are going to cover up for themselves. They're going to say, no, you know, everything happened, and the water was absolutely hot on Erev Shabbos, when in truth, that's not so. The water became hot over Shabbos because of all the wood that they placed inside the basement, you know, where the heat came from, underneath the bathhouse, and not only that, they didn't close the vents. These Asru Es Hachamin, they completely prohibited hot water on Shabbos, even though it was heated on Erev Shabbos. And at that point, they considered it as if the water was heated up on Shabbos. Now, if that be the case, what now becomes prohibited? For example, you remember we discussed back in the Mishnah of Chachmei Tveria, Panav Yadav Radlov, and we said that water that was heated up on Shabbos, which the Chachmei Tveria were accused the Anshei Tveria of heating up the water on Shabbos, setting up the system on everything, is therefore it's aser even Panav Yadav Radlov. That was the Isur. But he says, Hitiru Es Azeya. At this point, they still allowed you to at least use this bathhouse on Shabbos as a shvitzbad. Vadayin hoyu rochtzim b'chava. And they went ahead and they took it a little further. They said, well, if you're letting us already use this hot water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos for schwitzing purposes, you know what? We're going to go into the water itself. We're going to submerge ourselves into the hot water and take a real genuine bath. The Omrim, but they'll tell anyone who comes in and, you know, catches them, you know, in the act, they'll say, you know what, Mizim Anach, we didn't go into the water, we were sweating it out, because again, as we said before, you can't discern the difference between somebody who was sweating from the hot water and somebody who was submerging himself. Is Asru Lahem Es Azeh. At this point, Rabbanan went even a step further, and they said, not only does this water have the status of Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos as far as Pon of Yod V'Raglav is concerned, but even as far as Zeya is concerned. Now it's getting really rough, because now basically what you're saying is that no matter what you do with the hot water that was heated up on Erev Yontif or an Erev Shabbos, you can't have any benefit from it. Because we're always going to consider it as if it was what? It was Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. Give me Don, just one second. We're almost at the end here. Asru lahem es hazeav itiru chamei tverim. The only heta that they allowed for getting some sort of a hot bath on Shabbos, again, not a hot bath, but at least part of Yad Haraglav, or perhaps Zeah, was only in chamei tverim. Okay, because Chamei Tveria, right at this point, is absolutely discernible. In other words, there were certain locations where there were specified locations where they went to Chamei Tveria.
Why do you just qualify that with Panav Raglav? Like, why wouldn't it be like complete the bath in these hot springs?
I'm not sure, David, what you're asking, but give me just one more minute so I get the picture. Vadayna rochtzim b'chamei ar. And now they're still pulling hanky-panky on us. What they're going to do, they're going to go into the bathhouses that were heated up by fire. The Omer, they're going to declare b'chavei tveria rechatzlu. So I guess at this point, it's not so far away. I guess the chavei tveria were right next to the bathhouses. Maybe some of the water from the chavei tveria actually came into the bath. I don't know. But now they are actually bathing in the hot water. You see, the people had a tremendous need to bathe in the hot water. That was the luxury of the day. That was the excitement of the day in that time. And they would point it off and say, you know what? We went into Chamei Tveria. Asru lahem Chamei Tveria. They even went a step further. And they said that you can't even go into the Chamei Tveria. He tiru lahem, the only thing that we're left with, as far as washing their body is concerned, es hat soneh. Only cold water. Now, I don't know, Rabosa, when the last time you took a cold shower was, or a cold bath. It's not necessarily pleasant. I mean, again, some people love it.
Swimming.
Yeah, you go swimming. But, you know, if it's really cold water, and you have a tremendous desire to go into hot water, there's a hot bath there, and instead the Rabbanan are telling you, you know what, take a cold shower. Well, you're a little disappointed. Is ro she'ein adover omed lahem. They saw, they realized that the tzibur couldn't take this. They had to have some way of taking a hot rinsing on Shabbos. So what did they do? They went back, chazru, hitiru lahem chamei tveria. They allowed them, permitted them to go to the chamei tveria. Okay? Again, when you now the question is, what does that mean? That hitiru lahem
that must be full rachitzah.
Af es kol aguf biyacher. Whoa, okay. I have a note here that it says he tiru lahem rechitza bechamei tveria afilu kol gufo biyachad.
Because water heated before Shabbos you can use for raglav, panav, and yadayim. So there's no problem doing that even before.
Right. V'zeh b'mkomo b'nis. So they didn't allow you to do Zeya, but they allowed you to submerge yourself into Chamei Tveria.
Changing location.
Now he says the following. He says, Ha'im mutar lirchotz b'chamei tveria. What is the heter of Chamei Tveria? It's dafka kishem b'karka. They're in their normal natural state, inside the ground. O af kishem b'kli. or were you allowed to take the chamei tveria and pour it into or draw it into some sort of a tub, a utensil, and then you're allowed to bathe in that tub? And he says in the name of the Rav Yah that in such a case we have to avoid it. Lo hitirum el bnei sharosh ein adavar omed. Okay. So David, you were going to say something before, and I just pushed you up. Just and Don also, you wanted to say something. I just wanted to get to the
to the two dots,
so to speak.
You qualified the dipping in their little jump in Tiberius as being something like that, just be raglav and panav and yadayim. But I said, well, I think it should be rakitza, because that would, you're already allowed to use water that was preheated on Shabbat for raglav, panav and yadayim. So if they're going to give you a heter to use,
well, yes and no. I agree with you before the period of Misharabu Ovrei Avera, but let's look at this period of time post Misharabu Ovrei Avera. And the Gemara says that the Balonim would actually see to it that the water was heated up on Shabbos illegitimately, right? Illegally. And not only that, the people would take baths and they would claim it's Zeo, or they would go into the Chami Tveria and claim, go into the bath and they would claim it was Chami Tveria.
But the problem is on the man made hookam of the water, not some sort of naturally heated water where there's no Issa.
Well, you mean to say that there's no Balonim over here because the Chami Tveria was self heated, you know, by nature, whether it's told the Sachama, told Zohar, whatever it might be, but there's less of a. But you get the impression that Chachamim sort of collapse. They what's the word I'm looking for? They
capitulated.
They capitulated, yeah, in order to allow
the, forward once
right, allow, to allow the people to take some sort of a hot bath on Shabbos. And like you say, David, very well. I mean, the Chami Tveria is not something that you can be choshed. The only chash is that they really were taking baths in the hot bathhouse, and they were claiming that they went into Chami Tveria. That gzeira they removed, but what they left with is the Isur of Zeya. So I would like to take a minute of time to see if this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Let's see, Dalet and Hay. Okay, he tells you to look in Simon, what is it? Shin Chaf Vav. Let's see if I can find this. Let me just borrow this for a second, Don. Is this yours?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be right back. I should have one somewhere.
This is yours, isn't
it? Oh, okay, good, great.
The other thing is,
wait, just give me a second, Dave, because I can't do two things at once.
I also want to
Shin Chaf Vav. Let me just see what's going on here. He says, Osur Lirchotz Kol Gufo Ve'afilu Kol Ever V'Ever. This is on page 320 in my edition. Afilu Kol Ever V'Ever Levad Ve'afilu B'mayim Shehuchmu Me'erev Shabbos Bein Imheim B'Kli Bein Imheim B'mayim V'afilu Lishpoch Mayim Al Gufo L'Shtatef Osu Avol Mutu Lirchotz B'hem Ponov Yodav V'Raglov. Okay, so what this I want to see. I'm hoping for a miracle here. Oh, Baruch Hashem, we got a miracle. Okay, if you tell you this, most important here is to underline the Mishnah Brura Sif Katan Hay. Hayu bechavit shehuchmu me'erev Shabbos.
Which one?
Hey, that's the next to the last line in the Mishnah Brura on page 320. Okay, you'll see the word Bahem, and he says Hainu Bechamin Shehuchmu Me'erev Shabbos. So both say the principles that we've been operating with all along here the last week or so are correct. They're accepted, codified La'alacha, meaning if the water was heated up on Shabbos, then you're not allowed to have any benefit whatsoever. The Mishnah says in the case of Chami Tveri, even for Shasia. But in the case of water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, where the Chachom made a gzera, and they said, you know what? We're not going to allow rechitza, we're not even going to allow shituf kol gufo, but panav yadav raglav remains mutter again, because the heating process completed itself on Erev Shabbos. Then he goes on to Mishnah Berurah and he says, Aval bechamin shehuchmu b'Shabbos afilu yadav asur afilu yadav levat. He wants to rinse his hands off with hot water that was heated up on Shabbos. He's not allowed to do so. So it's very interesting, because we once discussed the case in Petersburg, if you remember, where the water was heated up by a guy on Shabbos, and Reb Chaim had doubts whether he allowed to enjoy the benefit of that water, because that water was heated up on Shabbos. Now it was heated up beheter gavur, there was no violation whatsoever, but this is the nature of the gzera that Mayim Shehuchmu b'Shabbos is asur, and it's asur even to wash your hands, even to take a drink of it, a zip of it. So this is what we have here in the Shulchan Aruch. Now what about Chamei Tveria? So if you take a look here on page 321 in the Mechaber, that's on the top line, it says Hani Mili B'Chamei Ha'ur. That's only with regard to water that was heated up by fire. Aval B'Chamei Tveria Mutar Lirchotz Afilu Kol Gufo Yachad. But you can jump into the Chamei Tveria and you can take a bath in Chamei Tveria. Why? Because that's not called Chamei Ha'or. Now, I wanted to look at Mishnah Berurah number Zion, and he says, Leficha b'mokom shenogu lahachem ha-mikvah tzorch lizar shalo yirak poshrim dimloken osu litbolbo. Wow. So the Chayyadim, he is quoted as saying that you're not allowed to go into a mikvah on Shabbos.
Yeah,
you know, the Hasidim are going to be very upset about that. But, okay, so you're allowed to go into the mikvah if it's not hot water. It's poshrim. Now we have to underline that word poshrim, because that's going to be the next Gemara that we want to learn. What exactly is poshrim? Poshrim literally means lukewarm, as we'd call it.
Where are we
again? That's what I said before, but you were busy writing. 321.
I'm there. But where?
321.
Where are 321?
We have the top line. Hani mili b'chamei ha'or. Abo b'chamei tveria mutar lirchotz afilu kol gufo yachad. And now the question is, if water was heated up in the normal way, can you use it as a mikvah? So if at the end he writes ayin b'karban asanel, he doesn't tell you what the karban asanel holds, but the karban asanel says that tvila is not the same as rechitza. Rechitza means when you're washing yourself. Tvila means when you're dunking yourself. And tvila b'mikvah was never included in the isur of bathing on Shabbos. This is what the Hasidim rely on, this karban asanel.
Why not just a Hasidim, no? Can you go to a lot of Mitnagim not so comfortable going to doing
I think Adam actually recommends
doing what?
Going to Shakrit on Shabbos before, without having gone to the mikvah.
Really? Litvaks go to the mikvah? I didn't know that. Okay. I don't hang around the mikvah, so I don't know who's in there. I always thought it was a chassidim word.
The Chayyadim says it's good to do Erev Shabbat. I don't know if it's about every day.
No, the Chayyadim is not on board here with Tvila b'mikvah. You know, it's only the Karban Asana. But David is saying that even non-chassidim rely on this Karban Asana. I wasn't aware of that.
Well, it's the playoff between going to Tefillah after relations. Yeah, is that what's worse?
I don't know if we're so mocked about going to a mikveh after relations. Is that brought down in Shulchan Aruch? I'd have to research that. Okay. So do me a favor afterwards. I don't want to get sidetracked here, but that's something that should be researched.
Right.
Let's go over that. Just 1 second. But Chamei Tveria. So again, what for sure, according to everyone, is okay? Chamei Tveria and all of the hot springs. And there's no gzera of an isur chitz on hot springs, and the reason seems to be in the mechaber on the top line here, because it's not called chamei ha'or, and that's a little bit strange, because if I remember the sugya that we learned correctly, the Gemara actually concluded that maybe it is chamei ha'or, right? The eishel gehenna. So that I don't know exactly. Apparently, we're not accepting that view. Then he writes, "B'makom shein derech lirchotz b'mel lirfua asa lirchotz b'mel b'shamis." Okay, I don't know what this is all about. fine. Yeah, David, what do you want to say?
Haven't we sort of got ourselves into this position because of this gezerah, because of the balabatim of these bathhouses behaving according to a profit motive? They have a profit motive to make their water as hot as possible, and therefore they, you know, cut corners and there are two violators
here. There's the supervisors, the balonim, and then there's also the people themselves, you see, who are so eager to bathe that they would do all sorts of crazy things and say, well, it wasn't, you know, they would bathe and then they would say, well, we did this, we did that. They also are making excuses. So let's not blame let's not put all the blame on the balonim. You know, there's some blame that the rank and file citizens have to share. Yeah, Don?
Maybe it's the difference of the time period again, but when we were discussing Rabbi Akiva and right. Rabbi Elazar in Bnei Brach, I think, right?
Right, Bnei Brach, yeah.
And they could step outside and they could put the water on them, and the reason why they didn't do it, because when they came out, if they were in the Schwitz, it was okay, because you could tell the difference between being in the Schwitz and actually having bathed themselves or rinsed themselves inside rather than outside. But then here, when we're talking after the injunction that they can't use the bathhouses at all, it seems to be saying that you can't tell the difference anymore. In other words, you can't tell the difference between them taking the schwitz and bathing. That's why they prohibited the whole thing.
I hear. That's a good question. I don't know. Okay. Now, what about taking water from the chametzeria and pouring it into a tub? And that's what he has here on the second line in the Mechaber. Hodeshari b'chametzeria, that heter is dafka b'karka, I guess in its original natural state in the ground. I will be clean low. Why? Because once you put it into a tub, is osi lechlufi b'chamei, nobody knows whether it was water heated up by the bathhouse, by the fires, or it was heated up by chametzeria. Yesh omim hodeshari chametzeria dafka kishein hamokom mekore. Hamokom mekore osur mishum di osi lidei zea vi osur. This is unbelievable. He's saying that according to this first opinion, schwitzing in the Chamei Tveria, in other words, let's say you make a sauna out of the Chamei Tveria by covering it over with a roof, and now when you just go in there you start sweating, that's prohibited, which is a pellet to me, because you're allowed to go into the waters of Chamei Tveria but you can't use them for sweating. We always said that it works the other way around, that even when you're not allowed to go into the waters but you're allowed to sweat, he always saying you're allowed to go into the waters but you're not allowed to sweat. The Yeshomer, but the second opinion says that mutal azia b'chametzveria, meaning even if it's a roofed, you know, it's enclosed area around the chametzveria, you're allowed to go in there as a shvitzbud. And again, that opinion means that if you're allowed to wash yourself, then how much more so you're allowed to use it for sweat. Let's just see if the Mishnah Berurah adds anything. Oh, excellent. Number Yud Aleph, he says, lo asru zeya, the only time they prohibited schwitzing is el b'mokmash harachitza asura. If bathing was awesome, one might have confused the two. L'chein, but here in this case of chamei tveria, mutar harachitza, you're allowed to bathe in it, even if it's roofed, and nobody questions that, so therefore you're allowed to sweat in it as well. Now, in the next se'if in the Shulchan Aruch, that's Gimel, he talks about the case of the Mishnah of Chamei Tveria. This is the whole, you know, Silon business, if you take a look. Pirsh Tzinar. And he says that it's considered as if the water was heated up on Shabbos. Okay then. Now, Rabosai, with your permission, I would like to move on, because there's a Gemara here I'm hoping that we'll get to, which is very close, and that's on Mem Amud Beis on top. So let's finish up Mem Amud Aleph and turn the page. Omar Rava, Haiman di Ovar Adrabonon, Shori Lemikrile Avaryon. If a person violates an injunction of the Chachamim, then he's called an Avaryon, he's called a sinner. And we have to know exactly what the what the significance of this is. And basically, you have here a discussion about Lashon Hara. Normally, you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara about a person. However, if you're speaking about his violations, that could have implications lahalacha, then you might be able to publicly discuss his violations, even if it's only a violation of a derabbanan. And that's what he says here. I'll just read to you quickly the footnote that I have. You may have a similar footnote there in the English. He says, "Af shaloshen ar maguna biyosim mikomakom kolshem es sapra kedei lahavish mi sheyotzos olav shmus ros." There may be a number of different reasons that would motivate a person to speak about someone else's violations and evil. For example, this is the way that a person can influence someone else or have others influence him to straighten his path out, or just that we shouldn't learn from his bad actions, is that's not considered Lashon Hara. And he says, V'apa aver shel divrei sofrim, even if he violates a derabbanan, then, like for example, this case of bathing in a bathhouse on Shabbos, that too is considered an avarion. He's a sinner, and that would alleviate the iser of lashon hara. Again, the Chafetz Chaim, you know, adds many many conditions to when you're allowed to speak lashon hara and how you're allowed to speak lashon hara, when it's permissible. And now we turn to Daf Mem Amid Beis. Ki Hai Tana. This is like the Tana that was brought on our Daf that we just learned of Misha Rabu Ovre Avera. You remember there were those who were bathing on Shabbos in hot water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, and they would deny that they were doing so. And they would say that, no, we only used it for a Shvitz, you know, for Zeya. And the Mishnah, the Brice that we saw, calls these people Ovrei Avera. And Rava wants to say that there's a significance to the fact that you label them as Ovrei Avera, as we discussed earlier. Okay, now let's go back to the Brice about Batios, right? These are the large bathhouses, Shel Krochim of the large cities. Mitayel Bahem V'eino Choshesh. You're allowed to walk through them, and no one is going to suspect you of having used them for bathing purposes. Omar Rava, Dafka Krochim, these are only the bathhouses in the largest cities, in the urban centers, I guess you would call it. Aval Dikfarim, if they're in small villages, low. Then there's no heter to walk through these bathhouses. By time of why are you getting so strict about these small villages? Kevan de Zutrin Nefish Havlayim. Since these bathhouses are very small and there's not that much air and the fire therefore doesn't cool off, it becomes very intense. And therefore when you go in there, you're already going to start sweating because of the intense heat. And we said that you're not allowed to go into these bathhouses for the purpose of using them as a schwitzbad. And here, inadvertently, but definitely, he's going to be schwitzing. And therefore, the gzera applies. Okay, this is the Gemara that I wanted to get to today. Tana Rabbanan, Mischamem Adam Keneged Amidora. A person is allowed to stand near a fire on Shabbos, v'yotzei u'mishtatev bitzonen, and then he can rinse himself off with cold water. And even though, keep in mind, his body is now hot from standing in close proximity to this, we'll call it a campfire. What would you call it?
Bonfire?
Let's say in your local house you have, I wouldn't call it a campfire. What would you call it?
Fireplace.
A fireplace. Excellent. A fireplace. So his body is hot from the fireplace. And the water that he pours on his body is also going to get a little bit heated up from his body heat, which means he's basically involved in what we call shituf kol gufo, who is rinsing his body. And the Gemara says, ubilvad shelo yishtatev bitsone. Now, what does this mean? Ulo yishtatev bitsone. He just finished saying that v'yotze umishtatev bitsone. What's ubilvad shelo yishtatev bitsone? So what you have to say is that ubilvad shelo yishtatev bitsone here is only the opening of a sentence, and should not be written with a period afterwards. You know, very often, since the Gemara is not
punctuated,
you don't know exactly where to put the punctuation. So if you read it ubilvad shelo yishtatev bitsone in period, then you're in trouble because he just finished saying yotzei mishtatev bitsone. So you have to read it like this: ubilvad shelo yishtatev bitsone v'yischamem kineged amidora. And what he can't do is reverse the process. He can't pour cold water over his body and then stand next to the fireplace in order to heat up the water on his body. Because he's heating up the water on his body by virtue of the fact that he's standing in close proximity to the fireplace. Now, what is going on here in this Gemara? So I have here a footnote which summarizes a bunch of Rishonim. We should really photocopy this. This is Nam Dalid on Mem Amid Beis. But I'll just read it very quickly and summarize it. First, he says that in general, it would seem that there's no problem of doing this process of lahafshir mayim chayim b'shabbos. In other words, whatever this entity called poshrim or mafshirin is, it's not the same as real cooking. So if I were to ask you, does the water reach the level of Yad Sol lettuce bowl, what would be your answer? No, it's less than Yad Sol lettuce bowl, so it's not real bishul. So the fact that you are heating up water to the point in which it's called hafshara, that doesn't constitute bishul. And therefore the question is, why therefore is he not allowed to pour cold water over his body, stand next to the fireplace, and the water turns to mafshirim? Why is that prohibited? Because even if you were to take the water and put it in close proximity to the fire and it reaches the state of hafshara, that's not called bishul. The answer has to be that in our case, it looks like he's bathing himself. So we come back to the Iser of Rechitza on Shabbos Bechamin, and here he didn't violate the Iser of Rechitza B'Shabbos B'Chamin, he just simply did what he was supposed to do, and he bathed in cold water, or he rinsed himself off in cold water. But the problem is that as soon as the water begins to get hot, these droplets of water on his body, that looks like rechitza. And people are going to think that, you know what, if you're allowed to stand next to the fireplace and heat up the water that's on your body from the cold bath that you took, then maybe we're allowed to heat up water on Shabbos, or use water that was heated up on Shabbos and take a bath. In other words, basically what we're saying is that according to, this is based on the Tosus Dibra Masa Mipnei, that this situation is not prohibited because you're heating up the water. No, that's hafshara is not bishul, but rather because you are coming very close to rechitza, so close to rechitza that you might confuse the two. Why? Because your entire body now is covered with water that was heated up by the fireplace. And he quotes another opinion, and that's the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban says that lischamen kinegan amedura, right? Had he heated up his body by standing when he's dry, standing next to the fireplace, and then he pours cold water, that's not bishul, because He's not gonna heat up the water to a point to which it's yatzal lettuce bow, right? But rather, it's going to get to a state of hafsharas hamayim. That's not called bishul. However, to do it in the reverse, to wash himself in cold water and then warm himself up against the fireplace, that's asur. Bipnei shamayim shaolav mischamamim v'nimtza shurochets b'shabes b'mayim shahuchmu b'shabes. Oh, interesting. Here, the Ramban adds a very important point that we don't have in Tosus. Tosus says that the reason this is asur, to wash yourself in cold water and then stand next to the fireplace, is because it's dome kerochets b'mayim chame. In other words, it looks like rechitza. However, the Ramban says something entirely different. The Ramban says that if he washes himself in cold water and now stands next to the madora, then he says the water gets warm, and he's basically right now violating the Isur of Rechitza b'mayim shehuchmu b'shabes. So it's very fascinating. The Ramban on the one hand says that to heat up this water to the point of Hafshara, that's not called Bishul. And therefore, if you were to stand dry next to the fireplace and then cover yourself with water, and the heat of your body skin is going to warm up the water, that's not a problem, because that's not Bishul. But when you do it in the reverse, and first what did you do? You poured the cold water onto your body, then you stood next to the fireplace. At that point, you are violating the Iser, the Gzeret Rabbanon, of Cham and Shehuchmu b'Shabbos. Because when does this water get heated up? On Shabbos. But how hot did it get? It only got to the point of Afshara. That's not called Bishul. So it's an amazing chiddush in the Ramban that Mayim Shehuchmu b'Shabbos is not limited to the definition of Bishul and Yad Soledispo, but it's called Chamin as soon as it gets to the point of Hafshara. And therefore, you are benefiting from water that was warmed up, if you want to say it, on Shabbos itself. Now, I thought that there might be a tremendous nafkamina here between the Ramban and Tosus. What would Tosus say about a person who, let's say, would wash his hands in cold water and then dry them to the fireplace? What would you say? Asur mutter.
It's okay.
It's okay, because that's not a rechitza. That's only yada. But according to Ramban, once you heat up the water droplets on your hand, it becomes vayim shehuchmu b'shabes, and that's asur even be part of yada v'rag.
But your intention is actually to get rid of the water.
Well, again, when you say to get rid of the water, why?
You washed your hands, and now you want to dry your hands over the fire. Dry them.
Well, no, I think he has a towel. You know, you're thinking of, of those machines.
Heaters, yeah.
You know, those heaters. You know, that's a contemporary perspective. But back in the day, when they wanted to dry their hands, there were many possibilities for how to dry their hands. In this case, what they wanted to do was warm up the water on their hands. It's like, for example, you have people, I fit into this category myself, who during the winter months, their hands are very, very cold because of the cold weather. So what they want is they want to warm up their hands. So they pour hot water over their hands. Here, he couldn't pour hot water over his hands. That would for sure be asur. Because again, if this water was heated on Shabbos, then even part of Yad HaMeraglav is asur. So he did it in the reverse. He put some water, let's say room temperature water, on his hands, and then in order to get a warmth on his hands, he puts his hands next to the fireplace. But again, even David, if we leave out the psychology for a moment, what's more interesting to me is that the Ramban has a new definition here of Cham and Shehuchmu b'Shabbos. We had the case of Cham and Shehuchmu b'Shabbos in the Mishnah of Chachmei Tveria, but there they were heating up the water for a real hot bath by surrounding the water with the Chachmei Tveria. Here, What water is he heating up? Just the water on his hands? Doesn't matter. And what heat does the water reach? Hafshar. Hafshar means it's a little bit warm. I don't know exactly what temperature it is. You know, it's 15 degrees, 17, I don't know, 17, 20 degrees, I don't know, whatever it is. Well, centigrade, you know, it's 70 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that. It's not really hot water. And yet the Ramban says it's prohibited. Why? Because Nimtzeshu Rochets, again, he's only Rochets, according to my understanding, the Ramban, he's Yodayim, B'mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, V'chein Kos of a Rambam. Okay, so if somebody could do me a favor and open up to the Rambam, I don't care who does it, anybody, any volunteers here. Perek Chaf Beis Halacha Gimel.
This would make water.
Chaf Beis Gimel, you have it? 22.3.
If you pour water out of your kumkum, even into a clay rivi or a shlishi, you can't wash your hands in that water.
Because the water was heated up on Shabbos. So what that basically means is that the only way that you can have a hot glass of tea on Shabbos, you want to read it out loud, Ben?
Oh,
if you don't,
can
would
you put
only
your hands
be
around the coffee cup to keep your hands warm when you drink your coffee.
Well, if you're allowed to drink the coffee, then you're allowed to warm your hands around.
No,
the
maybe this is not saying that, because this is like lukewarm water that was heated on Shabbat, but you're using it for washing purposes.
But why are you allowed to drink from it if it was heated up on Shabbat?
Because that's visual, it's something different. It's not a part of a pizza.
Remember we go back to the Mishnah, always we have to go back to Mishnah Lamed Chesamid Beis. The Mishnah says Asurim Berachitza Ubishsia. Do you remember that? And Shasia was the code word for Panav Yod V'Raglav, or any kind of hot water that he gets from the hot water. So hot water that was heated up on Shabbos is completely out. How are you drinking your coffee on Shabbos?
It's a different category. No,
I don't know. Maybe you're right and I'm wrong, but my impression would be that the only way you're allowed to have a hot coffee on Shabbos would be if you heated up the water before Shabbos. It would have to be like Pakakuna Kavav, meaning that it reached whatever heat it's going to reach, and it doesn't get additionally hot on Shabbos. Again, now you have the other issue when you know, I think we discussed this once, when you you go to the Mecham, you know, this urn, and you take out hot water. Now maybe the heat level of the water that's still in the urn gets intensified, you know, because there's a smaller quality, a more limited volume. So that has to be worked out, exactly why that's not a problem. But let's say, for example, you have these urns now. I don't know if you've seen them. They have a button for Shabbos. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
And what that button tells you is that the water reaches a certain level of heat. Right? It's roseach. You know, then you switch the button from resicha over to Shabbos mode. And that level of heat is maintained. And it's not changed at all. It's in a kind of a what do you call those things when you bring, you know, when you go to work and you want to take hot water? A thermos, right? It's almost in a thermos. Basically, it works almost on the same system as a thermos. What the Shabbos mode does is it traps the heat in, you know, in the hot water inside a thermos, so to speak, and no new hot water or even the old hot water is going to change its temperature. The temperature always remains absolutely the same. So that's called Mayim Shehuch Mubi Erev Shabbos. Now, would you be allowed to take that water in the urn and fill up a bathtub and take a bath? For sure not, because we don't allow bathing in hot water, even if the hot water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. But what we will allow is part of Yod V'Raglav, is Shasia, and if I can have a tea on Shabbos. Otherwise I'm in trouble, I can't have tea on Shabbos. The answer is because the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. No, I would say the following: if I'm allowed to benefit by drinking the water, certainly I can warm up my hands with this water, because part of Yod V'Raglav be mutter. But now I want to switch it around. Now here's the case where I have cold water on my hands, and I want to, you know, approximate my hands to the fireplace, and now heat up the water on my hands to get warm water on my hands. That becomes a problem, says the Ramban. And now I want to read the Rambam. Go ahead.
Kaf Gimel, Kaf Bet Amud Gimel, Halacha Gimel.
Halacha Gimel.
Mitchamem Adam Keneged Hamadura, Vyotse Mishtatef, Kol Gufo Betzorin.
Okay, so first is the first direction. So now what he did was he heated up his body. He's allowed to pour cold water on his body. Because here, We're not assuming that there's any sort of rechitza. We're only assuming that he's cleaning his body off, and if it's mayim sonanim, then there's no bishul of it because it's not going to reach any. Okay, now the other way around. Go ahead. Oh. Now what he did was, instead of warming up his body, he poured the cold water on his body. Right? Okay. Oh, this is the punchline of today. Okay, that's good. So what's the problem with mafshir mayim? We just said that lahafshir mayim is okay, because he poured cold water on his hot body. That was okay. Oh, so here I got thrown for a loop. I don't know why the Rambam says kol gufo here. Let's go slowly. Let's leave out kol gufo. Obviously, I'm going to have a problem. But if we leave out the words kol gufo, nimtza kerochets bechamin, the Rambam is on the same plane, on the same turf as the Ramban that we mentioned earlier, that there's a rechitza problem. B'mayim chamin. Chamin means shehuchmu b'shabbos. Because again, if it was huchmu in Erev Shabbos, there's no problem of using that for your hands. Now the Rambam writes kol gufo. I don't know why the Rambam has to add the words kol gufo. It sounds like if it wasn't kol gufo and it was only his hands, then it would be okay. I mean, the way we understood the Ramban, that would not be okay. So let me put this on the side for just a moment, and I want to show you a paragraph here. I forgot to bring it in. Just give me a second. What time is it? We have 5 minutes?
Yeah.
If not, we'll make 5 minutes.
This is the Rambam.
This is Rambam.
And he was quoting Ramban.
Yes. Okay. There's a...
Now, sometimes I can't hear the difference.
There's a show called Eretz Yudin by...
Oh, okay, so let me just read to you a paragraph here. This is in Hari Kedem, and it's on, yeah, on page Kufchav Zayin.
Is that the Wee Protocol?
I don't think so. I just saw this mamish in some of the wee hours, and that's why I was eager to get to this. He says, Nechleku, I'm going to just read it out loud, Don, as I do, you know, very quickly, and then give you the highlights, and then we can photocopy it. He says, Nira, the Nechleku, the Bira Gemara, Haramam Veharosh. The Ayin Baramam Perkhov Beis Halach Gimel, that's what Ben just read. So I'm not going to read it over. And he says, Bir Das Harambam Hu, Dikshu Mischamen Keneged Hamedora. So again, he's wet, and now he stands next to the menorah. Ein bozeh mishum chamin shehuchmu b'Shabbos. Just 1 second. I'm a little confused now because he's not going with the Ramban. Just 1 second. The way ein kan ma'ase bishul, the ein kan tfei mehefsher bi'alma, kami isu gav v'diosu lufas. Oh, okay. So the language here is a little bit confusing, and it threw me for a loop here. He's saying the following: that when the man is covered with cold water and he stands next to the fireplace and he's heating himself up, he says that's not called a ma'isa bishul, right? That's not called a ma'isa bishul. And I think what he means is ein kan ma'isa bishul because it doesn't reach that level of heat, otherwise he'd be scorching his body. The ein kan tfei mehefsher bi'alma. He's only warming up the water, he's not really heating the water. But mikol makom, but nevertheless, as far as the iser rechitza bechamin b'shabbos, he says, this is also included in the Iser Achitza. So he's not learning the way I was learning in the Ramban, that this is called Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. because in order to be mayim, to qualify as mayim shufa from Shabbos, it would have to be after bishul, and this is not bishul. So what is it? It's rechitza. Okay, so how is that different than the Rosh or the Tosfos that we learned? He says, "Ulahachi kasev Rambam da iser hugak bechol gufo." Ah, because he's learning that it's mayim shufuch will be erev Shabbos. There was no bishul on Shabbos, and mayim shufuch will be erev Shabbos is you're allowed to wash your hands and your and parts of your body. But here, since he covered his entire body with the cold water, that's why it becomes rechitza. Achein harosh kasav lekach tzarch lizoyer acha shenot al yodav shelo yicham osam keneged madora ad shiinagvam tchila v'tzarch iyun harei ain isur lirchotz ponav v'yodav l'raglo b'chamin she'ein ayad soledes po. Aha! So here's the deal. The Rama writes kol gufo. And the Rosh says even your hands. So he asks the question, the obvious question, what do you mean your hands? So let's say it's rechitza, the way the Rambam said it. But rechitza is not asur in part of Yad Varaglav, only called gufo. So the Rambam's right and the Rosh is wrong. He says, ach, ayin v'mogin avram, shin chavav, that's the sima that we were learning, shebir bazed, the af demayri, she'ein ayad, ein ayad, so let us, bro, the water doesn't get that level of heat. Afilu hachi, asur berchitzas pon of yodav raglav. Vizel shono, v'li nir desfilei la rosh, di asur mishum rechitza b'chamen shehuchmu b'shabes. Ah, so this is what I thought the Ramban was saying, but even if it's not the Ramban, then it's the Mogen Avram in the rosh. And he says, therefore, asur afil lirchotz yodav. Do you hear what's going on here? So we have the issue that we discussed earlier, just that the names changed as to who holds what, but the issue remains the same controversial issue. Am I allowed to wash my hands with cold water and then place my hands near the fire? So according to the Rambam, it's mutter, because the Rambam says it's only called gufa. The Rambam defines this water, since it's only hafshara and it's not yad sol and espo, as mayim shehuch mu b'erev Shabbos. Do you follow what I'm saying? You know,
keeps it in the same category as.
Correct. In other words, the Isa now is only Rechitzas called Gufo, and not if he puts his hands near the fire. So the Chiddush here of Al Gemara, who is it? Rava, right? Let me just get the name. No, it's the Brice itself, right? The Brice itself. The Chiddush of the Brice itself is that if your entire body is covered by cold water and you stand next to the fireplace, then that already looks like rechitzas kol gufo, which is also in Shabbos, even with mayim shehuch mu b'erev Shabbos. So that's an absolute iser, all-inclusive, of bathing in hot water on Shabbos. Except we had a heter of Chami Tveri. But this is not Chami Tveri. Because Chami Tveri, we said, is told us Acham and not told us Or. Fine. But according to the Rosh, says the Magen Avraham, even to wash your hands in cold water and heat them up by the fireplace is also. Why? Because that's called Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. And the Pella is, why is that called Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos when it doesn't reach Yad Soledes Bo and it's only Afshara? That's the paradox. Hainu di afal gavda mayim poshrim v'eilem shir shel Yad Soledes b'komakom chayla layu shame chamin shehuchmu b'shabbos. Wow, chamin shehuchmu b'shabbos doesn't mean, according to the Rosh, the way the Magen Avraham understands the Rosh, that it reached the level of resicha of bishul, but rather it reaches the level of being warm. It becomes warm water. Again, I don't know exactly what the temperature is. I don't know what the shear is. That's a fascinating question, and it becomes categorized under the status of Chamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. Okay, this is as far as I got.
It makes sense that it's not Yad Soledet.
I mean, there's still a lot more.
You can't even jump in the water.
What do you say?
It makes sense that it's not Yad Soledet, that it's something less than that, that you're still higher on, because otherwise you couldn't jump in the water. So these guys who are eating their water for baths can't be going beyond Yad Soledet.
That is correct, but what I would argue, David, is that at some point the water may have reached Yad Soledes, but you're saying that's irrelevant. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Your aim is not to do that.
No, what I mean to say is that it's a strange kind of situation, because the Balonim and the people, they wanted real hot baths, but obviously it's not Yad Soledes, because then you would, you know, you have a third degree burn, you know, forget it, the Magen David Adom would be overtime alert on Shabbos. But what I'm saying is that if this whole system of heating up the bathhouse, the water in the bath, on Erev Shabbos, and then Pakaku Nekavav, and then they close the valves, which is what they had to do, I would assume, I could be wrong, that at some point it was Yad Soledes. I don't think that they're just warming up the water. I think it really gets burning hot. Then they close the valves, and gradually the water, you know, de-intensifies its heat, meaning it cools off a little bit, and then it's really great. You know, it's great water for a hot bath. Okay, but the point is that according to the Magen Avraham, the Rosh, this concept called Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, which is Osir all inclusive, part of Yad Raglam, Afilu Shasiya, that's not water that's Yad Soledes Po, and it never was Yad Soledes Po. But paradoxically, because you stood next to the, and that's a big chiddush, so you stood next to the fireplace and you warmed up the droplets on your body, or in this case on your hands, it becomes Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. Chamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. This is a very strange case of Chamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. Like if you would have woke me up in the middle of the night and told me this story, I would laugh at you. I would say, well, he's taking water on his hands, he's standing next to the thing, and that's called Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. So let's say, for example, you know these machines, what do they call them? Is there a word for them?
Hand dryers.
Hand dryers, excellent. These hand drying machines, let's say I can set it up on a Shabbos clock. Or I can set it up in a way that it goes continuously 24 hours over Shabbos. Beautiful, no? This is a great idea. We're going to wash for our Seuda, right? The Tilos Yadayim. And then we're going to dry our hands with this hand dryer. Why? Because I activated it on Erev Shabbos and nobody touched it. If you had asked me, I'd say it's a great idea. I don't know why I never saw it. Probably because it costs a lot of electricity.
You know, evaporate the water. I'm thinking about those Hasidim. They take their mikvahs on Shabbos. They better make sure the mikvah room isn't heated. It doesn't have like a heat source in there, a heater or something, and they go and stand in front of the heater and dry themselves. That could be a problem.
Right. Like you have the, you know, we have in our bathroom, you'll see it. I don't know if they have it in the McFalls, I'm not sure. You know, we have those electric heaters, the red, you know.
Stand in front of that.
Right. So stands in front of that. Yeah, that's Ramesh, a violation of this price. We haven't looked it up in Shulchan Aruch. That's going to be another job for us. But what it comes out, according to the Magen Avraham and the Rosh, is that all that kind of stuff would be awesome. And even according to the Rama, would be awesome if your entire body is covered with water, with cold water. But the Rambam is saying that if your entire body is covered with water, it's like a rechitza kind of situation. The Rosh is saying that it becomes Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. So again, I that's what I'm just, these are musings of a madman, but I'm just thinking, like, why did I never see in my life, unless it's like too much electricity, why did I never see some sort of a, you know, in the fancy homes at least, you know, those who are wealthy, why didn't they set up some sort of a heater right next to the Netilas Yadayim sink, so that instead of, you know, it's not so gishmak, you know, it's also, I don't know how hygienic it is, you know, to everybody uses the same towel. I don't know if, Rabosi, have you ever, did that thought ever cross your mind or just mine? You know, when I have a lot of guests in the house. And
restaurants,
you know, and how many towels do you have? So, you know, you really should have many, many towels, and every 2-3 people should get another clean towel. The really fancy place, they have those little hand towels, you know what I'm saying? That's great. But I have a better solution. Why not use the hand dryers? Just make sure that it's on a Shabbos clock, or it's going 24/7, you know, or some other system where you could heat up.
How about a goy? A goy does one.
Okay, I don't know about a goy. A goy is going to be real Akum Shmuz and all this stuff. But why not an automated machine? But the answer is, according to the Rush, you are heating up the water on Shabbos to the point of. It's not Bishul, it's not Yatzal Lettuce, but it still becomes Chavit Shehuch B'Shabbos, and Chavit Shehuch B'Shabbos is also even part of Yad Varag. So it's very interesting. The Iser here is not the heating up the water that's on your hands. The Iser is either, according to the Rambam, Rechitza, but that requires called Gufo, according to the Rush, benefiting by drying your hands that in warm water, or washing your hands in warm water.
Is it evaporation
interesting, no?
That the water reached the boiling point? Each droplet, at least.
What, on your hands? I hope not, because then, you know, you're going to have to run to the to Terem, you know what I'm saying?
Excuse my ignorance. So what causes the evaporation? The force of the wind?
Ah, you're asking a question in physics.
Yeah, really? I don't know what's going on.
Listen, Shmuel, you got to go back to your Google over there. Last time you pulled that off on me with the hot springs, and I'm still trying to figure out the Chinese. You know, it's. I once, you know, I somehow in high school I avoided physics. I avoided physics. I was always afraid of physics, so I avoided it like the plague. You know, I danced between the hot droplets, you know, and I avoided physics. So, but you know, years later, I felt a little guilty about it. I said, you know, what the Israelis called Harba Haskalah. I mean, what am I, a total ignoramus? I don't know beans about physics. So what I did was I bought a physics book. I didn't even finish the introduction, and I dropped it. It was too much for me.
Still allergic,
you know. So I'm still allergic to physics. Yeah, Ben.
There was a distinction earlier between karka and kli. Is it a stretch to say that the body is like a kli? I'm a kli, the vessel with the water, and because of that, there's a problem with eating the water from a kli.
Well, let's say according to the Rambam that we're talking about rechitza, then it looks like you're doing a rechitza and a kli. You know, we might be more mekil in the case of, let's say, Chami Tveria, because it's rechitza in a karka situation, but this is not karka because the body in this context has the status of a kli. But as far as the Rosh is concerned, namely that this water becomes mayim shehuchmu b'shabbos, I don't think it makes one bit of a difference whether you're talking about kli or karka. All that is the same. Okay, there, Rabbosai, we'll stop here. I'll take this up.